Welcome to Hearts of Fire. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Winter. I want to invite you to journey with me into the miraculous as we explore God's kind of faith and examine our new identity in Christ so we can be transformed into a heart of fire. In this season, God is bringing together a remnant from among the church to enter into a season of strategic prayer known as apostolic intercession. This remnant group of prayer warriors will birth apostolic harvesting within the earth during this new era. Many of us have been waiting for the next move of God, but what we have failed to see is that it is we who are the next move of God. And it's time to move now. God is looking for those who are watchmen on the wall, who are willing to press in and call things that are not as though they are. Unfortunately, some of the language that is being used in the prayer movement has been vague, undefined, and overly generalized. This has caused the body of Christ to become discombobulated, which is unfortunate because the prayer movement is the backbone of revival. There has been too much hype surrounding newly discovered revelations and prophetic encounters that do nothing to bring people into the position to take on demonic opposition so that we can then fulfill the Great Commission. These prophetic encounters and so-called revelations, you know, they've only served to fulfill selfish desires or spiritual highs. Now, hear my heart on this. Our heartbeat as a ministry is to bring everyone to the place where they can experience God. It's part of our defined mission, and it's why we do what we do. We believe in receiving revelation and experiencing prophetic encounters. But when the prophetic encounters or the divine revelation that we receive becomes the end in of itself, then there's no eternal substance to it. I'm concerned because I've witnessed too many in the body of Christ who are chasing fantasies and experiences that do not measure up to scriptural integrity. When you look at the fruit of some of these so-called revelations and encounters, there's nothing of eternal value or substance. This might help. Real revelation and real encounters produce eternal fruit. God wants to give us real revelation so we can find our place and take up our position to fulfill the mandate of the Great Commission. Our place as a remnant people in the prayer movement is to become apostolic intercessors. But I want to be careful not to say, you know, words that are overly general regarding spiritual matters, but to give real definition to spiritual language. This is particularly needed regarding apostolic intercession, because we're talking about high-level spiritual warfare. The kingdom of God is, you know, it's the king's domain. Christ is king, it's his domain. And as with any other kingdom, the kingdom of God is a place, it is a kingdom of order. Key components within the kingdom are rank, position, authority, as everyone has their place, their function in their own position. Yet it is Christ who's king. And when it all comes down to it, Jesus is king of the kingdom. This is all for his glory. And when we function in apostolic intercession, we move in high-level spiritual warfare. But in order to understand what apostolic intercession is, we need to first understand what an apostle is. We hear so much about apostolic ministry, this person is an apostle over here, and that person over there is an apostle, and my friend over here, he's an apostle too. You know, we hear that kind of language being thrown around in the church. But what is a biblical definition of an apostle? The term apostle in its verb form simply means to send. But the definition is so broad that it literally can be applied to almost anyone or anything that is then sent. But in its noun form, the noun form, an apostle means to be is a sent one with a specific title that's referred to as in its specific function. So someone is a sent one with a specific function. Therefore, if we're going to truly understand this concept of what an apostle is, the way that, you know, Jesus intended, then we need to understand the cultural context in which the word was used. The word apostle was originally used as a naval term. It referred to the leading officer that commanded a fleet of ships. And then from there, the word apostle evolved just as languages tend to do. And as such, it came to be used to describe a man or a group of men who were then sent out on an official expedition that was then authorized by, you know, the government for a particular purpose. It kind of carried the idea of being authorized and commissioned by a higher power and then to act on behalf of that higher power. In other words, the apostle carried delegated authority. They were not an authority unto themselves. Its meaning grew even more specific over time as the Greeks and then later on the Romans sought to spread their cultural influence into the regions that they had conquered militarily. In order to bring Greek or Roman rule into conquered nations, they would then dispatch apostles authorized by the state and sent on a cultural transformation expedition. In other words, these apostles were sent on voyages with a fleet of ships filled with culturally trained colonialists. And then these colonialists would then set up a model city or colony with a model culture in these newly conquered lands that the newly conquered lands would then become like the new model culture. So in other words, they were sent on a cultural transformation assignment to convert entire cultures to the ways of the new kingdom. And we see this play out in Acts chapter 16, verse 12. If you read it, you'll see that these colonies became regional centers from which Greek or Roman culture could then spread into the smaller cities and regions. And in this way, they would not only conquer nations militarily, but they would also conquer them ideologically and culturally. They recognized to really truly conquer, you had to have their heart. Therefore, today, a true apostle is someone that is authorized and sent out by God on an official expedition to extend the governmental authority of the king's domain in the earth. And, you know, we see that in part in Mark chapter 3. Jesus, you know, he goes up onto a mountainside and the apostles and the disciples, you know, the appointed 12, they come to him and he designates them as apostles. And then he sends them out to preach the good news of the kingdom, and he authorizes them and he gives them authority then to drive out demons, to bring transformation. Hallelujah. I run into pastors all the time and they all want to be called apostles. You know, if you're a pastor of a single church of 50 people, congratulations, God bless you. But you're more of a pastor than an apostle. And that's okay. Because that's not the function of an apostle. Apostles are builders, and they typically plant or run and operate large networks that impact entire regions with the supernatural kingdom culture of Jesus. We see it clearly modeled historically, first in the natural and then in the spiritual. Just as Rome sent apostles to lead colonialists to spread the culture of Rome, the Roman Empire, you know, God, so does he place delegated authority upon his apostles to lead the body of Christ to expand his domain and the kingdom of heaven into the earth realm. And right now, I want to be careful to make a clarification. You see, the kingdom of God is not a natural kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom that supersedes the natural kingdoms. God is not establishing a political kingdom or a natural kingdom, but he's revealing the reality of his heavenly kingdom into the earth. And the apostles, they model this on earth as it is in heaven. They serve as the delegated authorities that bring transformation, bringing heaven to earth and activating the body of Christ to being who they are called to be for complete kingdom transformation. So, in other words, apostles usher in the reality of God's supernatural kingdom into the earth so that the world can then experience God. So when we talk about apostolic intercession, we're talking about apostles leading the body of Christ in spiritual warfare through targeted, concentrated prayer. Prayer is key because prayer creates movements that birth revival. And prayer is the place where the fire is born. Ladies and gentlemen, through prayer, we can actually create or change and alter and shift atmospheres. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, it says, "And God has raised us up with Christ and has seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." You see, God has positioned us legally in the spirit to be seated alongside of him in order that the ages that are to come will experience his grace. And we need to understand that, you know, as we are seated with him in that place, as we are positionally in Christ from a legal perspective, when we pray and when we intercede, we do so seated in a place of authority with Christ. And this has a purpose, so that in the coming ages, the expressed kindness of God can be known to the world. Even if we are here on earth physically, in the spirit, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, making prayers and declarations that are higher, far, and above demonic principalities and dominions. Far and above the fray, far and above the warfare. You see, we don't war for victory, we war from victory. But each one of us still has a role, a function to operate in within the territory, the sphere that God has assigned to us. We can only legislate and petition in prayer that which we have been delegated by God. In what area do you have legal jurisdiction in? The Apostle Paul understood the sphere to which he was called, including the limitations, the boundaries of that call, because he possessed only delegated authority. He was not an authority all unto himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we read, it says this, it says, We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. What does this look like? Our ministry, Hearts of Fire, is apostolic in this same way, as we have been commissioned by God with the delegated task of bringing the body of Christ together and mobilizing the church to pray and intercede for apostolic harvesting in our region. Now, let me describe what an apostolic intercessor looks like. Number one, the apostolic intercessor functions as a personal intercessor for an apostle or an apostolic ministry. And number two, an apostolic intercessor is aligned with an apostle and taps into the delegated authority that then flows out from the apostle or apostolic ministry. So in other words, whatever the apostle's jurisdiction of authority is, the intercessor then gains access to that same authority in prayer because it's delegated. And also, an apostolic intercessor is given authority by God to pray and receive answers to prayer within that particular sphere of influence, such as a particular region, state, or nation. So when you come under as an intercessor, when you come under an apostolic ministry or an apostle, you then have that sphere of influence to then begin to wage war in. Now, many intercessors don't have a covering or a functioning role within an apostolic ministry. This is unfortunate. Because in order for intercessors to come into the fullness of their call, they need to be rooted with an apostolic ministry. If you're listening to this program and you find yourself in that place, I want to encourage you to join the prayer room. The prayer room meets on Zoom every Tuesday night at 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. We pray for one another's needs because intercessors, we need covering, and we need, and we also pray over our nation. We need, and we also pray over our region and the ministry of Hearts of Fire. Now, so we have a very defined focus, but it's important because most intercessors do not get prayed for. They pray for everyone else, and then they have. They're blind, they get hit from behind. But we're supposed to be linked up together in relationship, covering one another. We're not supposed to be isolated intercessors. That ends up either being flaky or you're so independent and isolated going about it. And it might not be your intention, but God does not intend us to be Rambos. He intends us to be the church, a corporate body. So it's important for intercessors to be connected. Now, if you are interested in joining the prayer room, again, we're going to be praying for each other's needs because that's so vital. We'll also, after we cover one another, we'll pray over the nation of the United States, we'll pray over the region, and then we pray over the ministry of Hearts of Fire. And you can log in, and the login information is available on our website at www.heartsoffireintl.com. I want to take a moment right now and pray for those who are ready to step into their role as apostolic intercessors. It might be with our ministry, but it might be with an entirely other ministry, and that's okay. But Father, right now, I ask that you mobilize your remnant, your prayer warriors, that you're calling into the earth today during this new era to mobilize those who will pray prayers that will birth movements and to call forth the harvest, to usher in lost souls, to extend the hand of your kingdom, your domain, over spiritual territories that have been occupied by demonic forces. We bind those demonic forces right now, and I call you forth right now, intercessor, prayer warrior. I call forth that remnant, and I ask you, right now, Lord Jesus, to set them on fire and to begin to plant them and to root them right now with an apostolic ministry. And I decree and declare that the anointing to pray prayers that will unlock that which has been locked up and to loosen that which that has been stuck right now, to that which that has been bound, I decree and declare that right now the power of the gospel is loosening the calling, the plan, the purpose, the destiny over your life to pray and intercede. And right now I ask you, Lord, to dispatch your holy angels to wage war, to help us confront the darkness, removing demonic entities from their high places so you can establish your rule into the earth realm in reality. In the name of Jesus, we release the fire to pray and intercede, the prayers of the saints to be unlocked and to be loosened right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. I thank you for listening to today's program. I hope again that you will join us on the prayer room on Tuesday nights. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Hearts of Fire podcast. I have been your host, Dr. Aaron Winter. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps the show reach more people and spread the gospel. We hope that through this podcast that you experience God in a real and tangible way through media, products, conferences, and evangelistic campaigns. Our heartbeat is to bring everyone to the place of encounter. If you've been blessed by this ministry, we would like to encourage you to pray and ask God about becoming a monthly partner or sowing a single one-time gift into the ministry. Your generous financial support empowers us to accomplish this mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can experience God. Visit us online today at www.heartsoffireintl.com. That's www.heartsoffireintl.com, or you can give directly through Cash App at $HeartsOfFire. Thanks again for listening to Dr. Aaron Winter on the Hearts of Fire podcast.